This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who says the only crime that they should be investigating in that house is what they did to Tiffany. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, Friday night edition. Another day, another Big Brother episode to recap on CBS, the network that has reality TV and police procedural dramas all around the United States. That's right. Here we go. Welcome back. Another great panel. Back with us again. A busy guy here today. Third Big Brother podcast of the day here for Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. I'm contemplating this conspiracy theory now that we've introduced police procedurals. We know that Xavier is a lawyer.
Yep.
I remember back when in season 15, Amanda was secretly friends with Alison Grodner, and the season was rigged for her to win.
Yep.
I wonder if similarly, this season is rigged for Xavier to win in order to promote CSI Vegas.
But he is a lawyer. That CBS doesn't have any lawyer shows. They only have police shows.
Is Bull a lawyer show?
Is Bull still on? That's the question.
I feel like it's pretty controversial at this point.
I think they had The Good Wife. That was a lawyer show, but that's on Paramount Plus. Yeah,
I'll give it that.
Yeah.
The good fight still going, although it's
the
gone
good
really
fight.
Strange.
I was like, boy, how many police procedurals are on this network between the NCIS, the CSI, the Equalizer, the Blue Bloods, the Hawaii 5-0? How many cop shows do you need?
It's always the city, too. It's always cop show city. City cop show. That's the, like, if you take those two formulas for titles, you've probably got like 90%
Okay. Of CBS. I'm sorry. All Rise. They do have one legal show. Sorry about that. All right. We'll talk about the entire CBS lineup here tonight and much more. Very excited to have back with us as well. Chantel Francis is here. Chantel, how are you?
I mean, I'm doing great. I'm really happy to be here with you guys. I'm not sure what we're really going to talk about that we're not going to get through in the next 10 minutes or so, but I'm more so curious as to what we come up with to have some fun here tonight.
Yeah. Okay. I think we'll have there's some fodder, I think, for tonight's episode, but good to have you back. And also wonderful to be back with it's Brian week here on the BB recap. Brian Scally is here. Brian, how are you?
Hello. Hello. I am good. I just got done washing the tire tracks off my walls in time for the podcast. So I am feeling great.
All right. So here we are to recap a Friday night episode. This is in place of the Sunday night episode. The Emmys will air on CBS. So we will not have a new Big Brother episode on CBS until after the premiere of Survivor 41. How about that, Taryn?
Yeah, that's it's wild. And it's going to be at a special time.
Yes, very special time.
Oh,
yeah. So
how special.
Yes, I know it's a few days away. Wednesday night, we'll have Survivor Know-It-Alls live after the Survivor 41 premiere. And then Taryn will bring you the Wednesday night Big Brother recap after that episode around 11:15 p.m. Eastern, or a little bit later if the Know-It-Alls runs long after the two-hour Survivor episode. So that's all coming up on Wednesday. All right. I guess let's talk about this. Chantel, Brian, we didn't get to talk to you about the double eviction. I have a feeling of how it went at your house. But Chantel, what were your reactions to last night's double eviction?
I mean, it was pretty much what I was expected. I stopped holding out hope for what could possibly happen, especially after Tiffany went out. We're like, okay, we figured that was going to happen. Let's put a little bit of hope into Hannah because she's supposed to be the better competitor out of the two of them. And just watching it was just so devastating. And just seeing even the recap of that, this episode, it was just so sad for Hannah because she really does want to be there. And I felt that she does deserve to be there to a certain extent. And it was just all over kind of sad and depressing.
Yeah. And Brian, anybody who follows you on Twitter knows how you felt about the entire situation.
Yeah, I was not thrilled. For myself, it's hard. When I see something coming, I will prepare myself for it. So just like I really liked people like DX or Claire, but once I saw they would be going out of the house, I do have to like kind of detach myself emotionally. And so similarly with Tiffany and Hannah, I was readying myself for this. So it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And it still was bad. It still was really bad. So having to relive that tonight, not my favorite. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did end up reliving. I guess we should have seen this coming. But Taryn, we were complaining last night about how didn't you pre-tape the double eviction so we could see what was going on? Like, no, we pre-taped the double eviction so we could show it to you on the next episode.
Here's what you missed in the 2 hour double eviction last night. We're going to take up like 15 minutes of the next 1 hour episode. And look, I get it. You had nothing anyway. But oh boy, is this ridiculous that we're getting stuff from the double eviction the following night when it was pre-taped and it was 2 hours long. There was no point to that being 2 hours.
Okay. Should we talk through any of the flashbacks or is it too painful?
I'm just like, I could not believe, I mean, I guess I should have believed, but I could not believe that when Hannah is talking, and this is post veto, Hannah's talking to Kyle and she's like, will you vote for me? He's like, yeah, I want to. I got to talk to X about it. Mm-hmm. And then she talks to Xavier and she's like, will you vote for me? He's like, yeah. And then she talks to them both and she's like, guys, please, will you vote for me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're literally about to do it. Why do you not just say?
Yeah.
Was that Kylan's whole thing on the last double was, why are we keeping up appearances for Alyssa? And then now when it's him who's being asked questions, it's like, oh, I'm really not sure. Yeah. I can't give you the answer right now until the vote actually
I have a
happened.
Clip. I'm not sure if this was him talking to Hannah or this was him with Oz later in the episode.
Please vote to keep me.
I believe that I can. I think that is, I have to check with X and people.
I believe that I can't. I have to check with X and people.
So here's the thing, because they both tell us in the diary room, well, I want to keep Hannah, but I can't stick my neck out. I don't think Xavier wants to. Xavier's I would like to keep Hannah, but I don't think Kylan would want to. So neither of us can do it. And the second they meet up, they're like, can I be the one to give the sympathy home? it's like such BS. Kylan's been trying to claim like to the cameras. He's been talking to the cameras. He's been saying that he knows that Hannah is the next best competitor in the game and that he does want the best competitors in the
game. Better than Big D?
Better than Big D. He has said that. And so he
He says, well, I'm not going to go after Hannah. I unfortunately can't win HOH, but I would not target Hannah. If other people target Hannah, there's nothing I can do about that. But I would not target her because I want the best competitors in the end. And I think he's still trying to sell that whole story. And then I think at the last minute, he's like, wow, it says I'm voting. Oh, shit, but I can't vote Big D out. He's going to be so mad at me. I have to vote Hannah. Big D's done a lot of stuff, guys, actually. I didn't even realize. You didn't even realize.
Yeah. And especially when he's planning to go to the end with Xavier. And then he's like, be right back. I have to check if he's okay with this first. Mm-hmm. Like, you're completely giving up any illusion that you are the one in charge here at that moment.
Mm-hmm. And then also pretending like he cares about what Azza has to do. Like, they're both like, oh, you know, we don't want to put Azza in a position where she's going to have to choose between the two. And it's like, definitely since when do you care? It's just really annoying that they think that they can fool us. And it's like, we know what you're doing here. You're not slick.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, this is the problem, is that, like, especially in Xavier's case, like, never actually played the game of Big Brother as individuals. Like, they don't know how it works. They've been protected by this immensely powerful group all season long. And now they're like, wait, we have to take individual responsibility for sending someone. Ooh, I don't like that. Makes me feel weird. I don't want to say it in front of her.
Yep. Well, they send Hannah out of the house, but there were some reverberations with both Big D and Azza. Neither of them were too pleased with how this turned out. We spent much more time, Scally, with Big D and how he was really in his feelings after this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we start out with Big D talking about how he does not know why are people not getting him out, but at the same time, why are people putting me on the block and putting me in danger? So he is very upset that he was not consulted. How dare they? Do they know how many second places he's won? It's obviously for him, he is upset about the prospect of Kylan and Xavier potentially being closer than he is with either of them. And things are not looking great for him here.
How long do we think it takes Big D to retcon this whole situation as his idea to go up on the block?
I feel like it's already happened. The feeds were just down.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of things, Chantel, that Azza was not happy that nobody checked with her before they used the veto.
And I was hoping that the reason why she was upset was because she didn't actually want to send out Hannah. But it's just the fact that they didn't consult her about it. And like they did something and she had to put up Big D, even though that they were going to keep Big D. I was just like, that's so poor. I'm like, if you're going to be upset about it, be because you wanted Hannah to say and it didn't, your head of household didn't go the way you wanted it to. Not because like you had to put up Big D in this circumstance. Mm-hmm. I was obviously annoyed by that too.
Okay. We started to find out here, Taryn, we got some confessionals that Xavier might want to take out Kylan.
Yes, this is the best part of the episode. It's the best part of the week. It's like, I feel like Xavier wanting to cut Kylan here, you know, it might not be the best move in the world. But it, for me, is like, it's like
delicious.
A breath of air as I'm drowning in this end game. They're like, oh my God, there's an intrigue. There's one intrigue. Oh my God. Oh.
Yeah, I understand that Kylan has shown himself to be the more capable competitor, but Kylan has also shown himself to be completely enamored with Xavier and 100% willing to take him to the end, whereas Azza is gonna win one of those first two parts of the final three HOH competition if you let her get there, and then you're in essentially not quite a crapshoot for who wins the final HOH and she's not taking you. So I don't know why he would want to do this, but he seems to think that, hey, would be a great idea to get Kylan out without having to do it myself.
With seeing how this end game is going, I really want to know what it would be like to have watched the season without having Tiffany and Hannah and people that have and Claire and all the people that were very strategic really being moving the game forward, because they're just like bumbling. They're like, I don't know how to play this game, and I'm going to make really dumb decisions, and I don't really want to win, and I want to sit beside the worst person for me. And it's like, wait, is this how you had been playing the entire game if you didn't have someone that was completely controlling the narrative? That would be a good sideline to be able to watch.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, so this is very interesting, the idea about Xavier's two final two deals, one with Kylan and one with Xavier. We even flash back to the early days of the game, Chantel, day 13, when it was the final two was made between Xavier and Big D.
I didn't even really remember that. Just like, I'm like,
not sure if it was on the show.
Okay, I was like...
Well, here's the thing. It's funny watching Xavier talk about this like it means anything, because Big D made a final two with most of the people in the house earlier than day 13.
Yeah, and Big D is saying like, oh, it's so hard to even consider the prospect of cutting Kylan. How could you even think about cutting someone you love so much when the other option is Azza?
Like, I know.
They didn't even mention that on the show.
I was so shocked. It's like, you're so upset over making this decision, and the other person is Azza. Like, what? Yeah. She would do anything for you at this point, and like, you really don't even care about her feelings in this situation.
Well, Taryn, you and Puya did a great job of outlining that on the live feed update, but it's wild that, you know, he's like, but yeah, Kylan, you know, I don't know if I'm ready for this.
Makes me feel like I'm going to vomit. Just the idea of betraying my best friend that I love and dearly, Kylan. I could never do that to him. To betray somebody that you care so much about and that's been loyal to you, I couldn't even think about it. I have to get rid of Azza.
Yeah.
But that's Big D.
Azza, who has said to him, I don't care what my best move is. I don't care how cute Xavier is. Big D, you are my best friend. I would never cut you.
Azza's having a breakdown this episode that Big D might possibly go home over anyone else, but he is perfectly content to cut her here.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. All right. So Derek F says, okay, just don't leave me out of the plans anymore. That's the big thing. Felt left out.
I think he's been left out of the plans for most of the season. And it's only now that he's realizing that like people do things without his consent. Shocking.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much more planning there is at Final Four. It's kind of just competitions happen or they don't. So like, sure, Big D, we won't leave you out of it anymore.
Yeah. All right. You ready to talk about CSI Vegas?
It looks good. I love CSI. Okay. So I'm like, I was intrigued. Chantel,
what was your favorite CSI?
I did love CSI. Like Las Vegas was my favorite. That's the one that I watched most often.
Oh, so I did the original CSI within Las Vegas.
Yeah, I loved
the
original.
Wasn't it just CSI?
And yeah, now they brought it back.
Las Vegas?
It was just CSI, but it was set in Vegas, and it had that dude that said, I like hypotheses.
That's Grissom.
Wow. That's
such a bad line. But now they're calling it a CSI Vegas, I guess, as, maybe.
We had CSI Miami, CSI New York, CSI Cyber.
I didn't see that one.
Short-lived. Short-lived.
Yes. I've seen Miami. I get told CSI the medical examiner on CSI Miami. People are always like, is that you? And I was like, I wish. That'd be a great role, but no, it's not me.
Yeah. So, Chantel, who is this woman?
I actually don't know who she is. I haven't looked her up yet.
She was a British woman. She called the head of household the HOH.
Yes, it was Mandeep Dillon was the star of CSI Vegas. Mm-hmm. Everyone looked thrilled to see her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there she was. And she set the stage for the crime of the century, which was committed. Of course, this is the BB Beach Club. This is the season of high rollers, big risk, big reward, CSI Vegas. So seems like the perfect opportunity to bring back. We've already had the high roller room. We've got all things Vegas, gambling, but we went to the art museum.
Perfect. Mm. I mean, they could have done an actual casino or something that was a little bit in the, on the, along the same lines here. You know, we have all the cards.
They had the high roller room. They already had the room.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, though, like, how cool would it have been if it was like, you go to the high roller room and then, oh no, there's been a murder in the casino. Like, you have to, like, I mean, I say cool. But like, in terms of like the setups that they normally have, like, to have some kind of callback like that would have been more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nope. Instead, it was the art museum. We did see, Scally, some of the artifacts from the High Roller Room. I saw the mint julep was there.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yes, the famous mint julep.
The famous mint julep. It belongs in a museum.
Yeah.
X, what is that again? How do you make that drink?
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. This was a wild competition. Okay, so you get out your black light. Boy, Scally, I'm not sure that the Big Brother house is the number one place I'd want to be with a black light.
Yeah, I'm generally staying far away from the black light finding the DNA in the Big Brother house. It's mm-hmm. not my ideal space.
Yeah, yeah. And so luckily, this was like the off-site, Taryn, right?
Yeah, probably it's, you know, wherever they filmed this, mm-hmm. you know, the high roller room and all those, other, mm-hmm. What did they have, recently the with the Zingbot, they did the mini,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Glasses one.
Okay. And so, you're going to go find, these like, fingerprints, tire prints, all, you know, that Chantel, everything they do on CSI with the black light, right?
Right. I mean, it was a fun competition. I think the placements of some of these clues were a little bit silly. I would have been nicer if like they kind of made it realistic a little bit. But I actually enjoyed this competition for what it was. It was better than like the lawn bowling that we had to sit through yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I liked it.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Why?
It's like the first step in an escape room. Mm-hmm. Like, we couldn't even complicate it.
It's like the first step in an escape room, except you have to listen to three separate people explain in detail what the difference is between circle dash and a dash circle dash. And then when they get it wrong, be like, ah, this is what I got wrong. It's actually a dash circle circle dash mm-hmm. dash circle. And you're like, yeah. Oh, is it now? That's so interesting. I'm yes. so glad I'm watching this.
It's not really something that you could play along with.
No. And again, there's no timer or anything. You're just mm-hmm. watching them just explain to you that this one has tire treads that dip down and this one has ones that dip up, as if I can't see it myself.
Well, let me rephrase. I like the idea of this competition, not necessarily watching this competition.
Mm-hmm. I agree with
all
that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Derek F., that he was unsure.
Did you start second-guessing yourself?
Yeah, he was second-guessing himself all over the place.
Oh, this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it did not do so hot, so I think that he was probably correct mm-hmm. to be second-guessing himself.
Yeah. Then we had Xavier go. Xavier, Taryn, was cracking himself up.
Yeah. What's the deal with tire treads in an art museum?
How would they on the there? Wall? Really?
It's true, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fair point.
I appreciate that he's trying, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Nothing about the size of the Jolly Green Giant's fingerprint on the wall. But
yeah. And then Kylan ultimately ends up going, and he has some struggles.
Yeah. And this is the first competition he has lost to Xavier. And it seems like he really got in his own way here, which, you know, is a metaphor for his whole game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. We ultimately get the times, and it turns out that Xavier has the fastest time, and Xavier wins HOH. Chantel, this is a second HOH for Xavier, correct?
Yeah, I only remember him having one other one way at the beginning of the season. So, yes, it's a second one. I don't think it's that impressive, obviously, with the people that he's competing with. So, yeah, it's pretty much about the veto. So we know that, like, his nominations don't really matter that much. But good for him. I do feel like right now it's his game to lose. And I think that Kylan's actually figuring this out when he was kind of sad and crying over his performance in that competition. I think that he's realizing that he might not get to the end.
Yeah, well, Kylan was taking
this dummy.
Not so hot.
Dummy, I can't believe I...
What about your gameplay, Kylan?
I lost a competition to the guy that's the next best competitor after me, that I kept on me because he's the next best competitor after me, and I can't believe that I lost to him. Who could have seen this coming? Not me, because I'm a dummy, and also...
Kylan is the smartest idiot I have ever seen.
You know, Scally, sometimes the harshest reviews that we leave are the ones we leave for ourselves.
Very deep. I do agree. It's just seeing him beat himself up over this was not great. It's like this was so avoidable. It's so many different steps. But no, Kylan is finally realizing not that he's going to lose, but that he's going to lose sooner than he otherwise is unaware of. So not great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I mean, look, I have sympathy. Kylan feels bad for himself, but like...
I'm a dummy!
Like, what grown adult talks to themselves and calls themselves a dummy?
Dummy!
I'm a dummy!
Yo,
dummy,
Kylan,
dumb, dumb!
Kylan needs some of Kylan to come in, and he needs his own Kylan to come in and tell Kylan... Nobody should feel like a dummy in this game. Nobody should feel foolish in this game.
Oh, don't get me excited. Like I need him to like realize how badly he's been playing this, the final six and onward. I just want him to understand the error of his ways. Please, please. Can we have something?
A small dummy. Preview of finale.
Yeah. Derek F. also told us he considers himself a leader. True leader.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It's hard when then you feel like you may be riding people's coattails, or at least look that way, feel like it. Mm-hmm. Maybe because you are or so.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they're supposed to be loyal to him. Like, mm-hmm. that's the way it's supposed to be. So that's why he's the leader, because they're supposed to be loyal.
We're going to see Xavier and Kylan chat. And Kylan realizes, Taryn, if he doesn't win the veto, he could go home. Because, you know, this is the final four.
It is. And guess what happens in the final four?
Mm-hmm.
HOH actually doesn't have much. It's the HOH. it's all about the veto in the final four. Mm-hmm. And so things could go wrong here for Kylan if he doesn't win this veto. And look, he's so close. He doesn't just taste it. He also feels it.
Mm-hmm. So close. Xavier. I mean, Xavier did have a nice moment. We talked about it on the recap show on Thursday night, Chantel. We found out about Xavier's brother who passed away earlier this year, that we got a little bit of like what's at stake for Xavier. And, you know, it's hard to tell if that's what Xavier was feeling or if Xavier was sort of like having the moment of like, I just won the game.
I mean, I think he's realizing how close he is to making it a reality. We saw him at the beginning of the season having a few of those moments on the feeds where he was remembering his brother. We didn't really understand the full story of it, or I didn't anyways. But now we're kind of seeing that like, oh my God, this actually could be a reality. I could be the winner of the season and have a lot of money that I can help take care of my family. So I think that he's just realizing it could become a reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This to me was the quintessential Xavier moment, because there now is a long history. I mean, go back like basically every season for the last at least like 5 years, and the winner of the Final Four HOH, like without fail, breaks down as soon as they win. They're like, oh my God, oh my God, I can't win. And people are like, wow, so yeah, you did such a good job. Xavier, like, and in the diary room, he's mm-hmm. breaking down.
Yeah.
That is exactly who Xavier is in the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, Xavier is going to talk to Azza. And this was a kind of a wild conversation. Scally, Azza is going to ask Xavier, do you have a final two with Kyland? And Xavier tells us, like, I'm going to be real smooth about this. But he answers her, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was a no, I don't have one, but also maybe I would tell you if I did.
Mm-hmm. So would I tell you though? Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. Do you have a final two with Kyland? No. Would you tell me if you did? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The look away was also super telling in the body language, but I think it's Xavier trying to have his cake and eat it too, where he like does not want to lie to Azza, but like also you could still win this veto, so if you end up on that jury, don't be too mad, I didn't lie that bad, please. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's mm-hmm. classic Xavier.
Yeah,
I think they're all going to be so mad. Like, we could tell from Alyssa, she didn't seem like she was that happy about, like, no, she didn't mind being duped, whatever, but I don't think she's going to be that happy with Xavier. And we saw that Sarah Beth is not happy with Kyland. Like, I just don't know if they are playing their jury women that are going out there well and for them to want him to win. I don't know if they're going to want him to win as much as, like, they should.
But Chantel, he wanted to give Hannah a sympathy vote.
Oh,
so.
Right. Right.
Okay.
No follow through, though.
But he wanted to.
All right. Big D and Xavier talk. Xavier tells Big D, hey, you're making the final three, but he's not worried about that. You know, Big D, he belongs in one of those seats. Scally, we heard a bunch of times tonight that if anything, Big D deserves one of those final two chairs.
Deserves is such a word on any of these shows, but, and I don't generally believe anyone does deserve or does not deserve anything, but I feel pretty confident in saying that Big D does not deserve to be in one of those final two seats. If you are going to really get down to who did the most and really has a great argument at the end, but Big D has convinced himself at least that he deserves this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it's because he always takes naps in one of those chairs, and so maybe he feels like he got dibs.
Feels
so
at home.
It's like I've really been on these chairs for most of the season, so like I deserve to be there at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shot fives.
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
I just, you know, like Boston Rob in Redemption Island, or you know, we could also, if we make it Big Brother, we could say something like Derek Lavasser in season 16. You know, getting to the end game, feeling like, oh my God, I've done so much work to get here. I'm so close. Like I've been juggling all of these balls all season long. And I just need one thing to not screw up and mess my whole thing up. And I'm just so close. I've done so much work. I really feel like I need to get there. He thinks that he is Boston Rob in Redemption. Like that's exactly where he thinks he is. And if you know that, then everything he says makes exact sense, according to those, you know, thoughts.
Yeah, he thinks he's playing a Derek game, but like, it's just, you don't have to win competitions in order to be like effective in this game. Ideally, you would be fine regardless of any competition outcome. But Big D didn't even have like allies outside of Brittany, outside of the cookout. He like completely let most of the relationships fall, even including inside of the cookout in some cases. So I just don't understand exactly what he thinks qualifies him as the most deserving, other than having it in his head that he was the first person to throw this out there.
He genuinely thinks that he has orchestrated a lot. He thinks when Xavier talks to him about taking out Kylan, he says, oh, I'd feel so bad though after I got him to target Tiffany, and then I got Hannah targeted after that, and I've been lying in bed with him, like convincing him that he's my final two all this time. And like, and he genuinely thinks that he's the one that convinced Derek X to go after Christian. He thinks that the only reason he went up on the block is because he volunteered in order to protect Azza. Like, he genuinely thinks that he has been the primary driver of the season all season long.
Won't it be fantastic if Tiffany gets to ask him that question, being like, so what contributions did you have from getting the six to the six? Like, I want to see him have his delusion right in front of Tiffany, who's done a lot of work to get the six to the final six. Do you think he'll be like, is he going to fumble? Like, is he going to just lie to her face? Like, what is he going to do?
I don't know if that's going to be a question, to be honest.
I admire the delusion. I mean, it must be like a wonderful feeling. To be like to not actually have to do anything and just be like, I accomplished so much. Like, I just feel like always like there's more to do. I gotta do more. What else could I be doing? And then to just be able to relax and take a nap and feel like, boy, another day in the books. I'm killing it.
Seems easy.
He can't relax because he's constantly paranoid that something is going to, something outside of his control is going to come and do him wrong and unfairly unseat him from his position of glory. He's every single week like that. They're going to put me up. He is not comfortable in his delusion.
Right. That he deserves it so much that he's now is going to, it would be so unfair if he didn't get it. He's over deluded himself.
Of course the universe is going to take it away from me after everything that I've put into this.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. They got to beat Azza if they go to the final three, if they take out Kylan, but this is where Derek F is like, hey, Scally, I don't love this idea. We're taking out Kylan now. I'm not loving what he's putting down.
Derek F, there was the warning sign. He used the veto on Xavier, but again, the delusion in Derek F is strong. He has convinced himself that Kylan being in the final three is the better option, when in fact, Azza is a much preferable option for the fact that he's guaranteed final three in any scenario if Azza's there. And he also has a better shot against Azza than he does against anyone else in the house. So, like, I understand that he thinks he did so great, but like, there are people who actually did so great that he is preferring to sit next to in the finals versus Azza, who has a much more similar resume to Derek F.
Mm-hmm. Chantel, this is a huge night. We got the tiny table.
I mean, I wasn't even that excited by it. I think that it's just like right now, everything that I'm thinking about is like, I want Azza to please just win this veto and please win the next head of household and please take Big D to the end and win this game. Like, that's the only thing I can really think about right now.
Yeah.
Is that's what I want to happen.
Taryn, you outlined that scenario this morning that I don't know if all of the viewers realize that maybe Azza win could potentially be a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, last night I said Azza is surprisingly only two competition wins away from winning this whole game. And things have actually gotten better for her since last night, because with Xavier looking to take out Kylan and Big D maybe going along with it, she might not even need to win this veto in order to survive. Mm-hmm. She may just get to the final three and then She is one competition win away from potentially winning this whole game. You know, there it is.
Yeah. Scally, what's would the reaction be to an Azza win?
I feel like people would be happy it wasn't one of the guys.
Yes.
it is less that people would be happy for Azza. Like, I really like Azza. I have been rooting for Azza. I've wanted her to do well. I think a lot of people lost a lot of hope in that, mm-hmm. in the double eviction specifically, even leading up to it. A lot of the faith was lost. But like Xavier and Kylan, I have liked them very much leading up to this. Xavier was always great about like calling out people when they say something problematic in the house. But what they have been acting like for the last 2-3 weeks has garnered so much like ill will their way with fans online that Azza is a phenomenal option that is available at the moment.
Yeah.
I feel like the reaction would be like,
it serves you guys right.
Fitting for the season.
The jokers, the two jokers at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chantal, I do think it would be so interesting because I do feel like that when we look at like the overall resume for Kylan and Xavier, they certainly have done more than Azza, but in, you know, I feel like there is like a fitting irony that for, you know, Kylan and for Xavier and Big D, who were just so dismissive of Tiffany to a lesser extent Hannah, to like the one woman that they sort of just like disregarded, to have her stay and lose to her, would be, you know, a nice ending.
It would be a beautiful ending, because the other version is like her going out next and have 7 out of the 8 women that were cast on this season be in the jury. And like, I just like just seeing that, I don't want that to happen. So if for anything other than that, I want to see Azza at the end, just so that's not 7 out of 8 people voting, you know, going to be female.
Yeah, that would be wild. The only guy in the jury house would be Derek X.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Derek X's Angels in the jury. All right. We get our nominations. It is Azza. It was who's Kylan is the other nomination. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it matters so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would say it doesn't matter, but it does also look especially bad for Kylan when Xavier like has the knowledge, like, I should put Kylan up just in case we end up there together. It looks a lot better to say, like, well, I nominated Kylan when I had the opportunity, and Kylan used the veto on me. Like, mm-hmm. those are very different things that it just show that, like, Xavier actually was much more aware of this game.
Okay. What else from tonight's episode?
Was there anything else?
Should we take some questions?
Well, I did appreciate that Benny DeSquirrel was the suspect.
Well, Scally, can you talk us through that? How did Benny DeSquirrel leave giant fingerprints and tire tracks and giant footprints?
Yeah, I'm a little confused. I will say I would look at the reoccurring character who dragged 4 people out in a body bag 2 seasons ago as a likely suspect in any crimes that are going on in the house.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know what shoes he was pictured wearing for sure. Mm.
Are they clown shoes?
Maybe. It's possible.
Okay. All right. Are we still trying to make Benny the Squirrel a thing?
I mean, Benny the Squirrel is a thing. It's just not a very exciting thing.
Mm-hmm. You know? Was Benny the Squirrel born out of Camp Comeback?
I don't think so, right? Wasn't he around all the way back, like, maybe 17? Mm-hmm. Or was that I know Squirrel was a thing way back then. I don't know if it was Benny the Squirrel at that point, but...
yeah. There was always like a squirrel being hidden in the background for a number of seasons. I don't remember exactly which one it started.
But why?
Why anything on the show? You could ask yourself that so many times. We have gotten an hour in off of this episode, and now we ask why.
Like, again, I see it. It's really like, oh, there's the squirrel. But wait, why is there a squirrel? Yeah. Okay. All right. Danny in the chat says Orwell took some of the squirrel's shine for a while. So, all right. But now we're all in on the squirrel. Sorry, Orwell.
Yeah, people are wondering where Orwell went. He's on my couch, actually.
Yeah. Aww. But is Orwell not a thing anymore? For has he been written out of the show?
Yeah.
With no BB After Dark on Pop.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. It's no longer Orwell. He took a break. Mm-hmm. He came here.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's take a question or two. What do you think the vote breakdown is if we have Kylan and Xavier in the final two? We talked about this a little bit last night. Scott, do you have any thoughts on this?
I think it's really hard to predict jury votes. Obviously, we're being shown that Xavier is the favorite, but I am not really going to put much weight in the jury segments, especially before Tiffany and Hannah get there, who know a lot more of what was actually going on. So I think that they're going to have a much bigger impact on the jury than anyone that's been there before, for sure. And so I think Kylan's best hope is that Tiffany respects his game and really sees how much social maneuvering he did, especially getting people to target each other outside of the alliance, where Xavier was more of the glue internally. So it seems from her exit interviews, she's been fairly favorable in his direction, but I no clue on an exact count.
So I forgot to mention it earlier. We did get exit press back from Tiffany and from Hannah. Taryn and I watched those live on the BB Q&A with the patrons this afternoon. We will have a version of that podcast with just the exit interview part of that getting posted at some point as well. So you can hear the Tiffany and Hannah, their responses. But Chantel, both of them took the high road at every turn. Neither one was shady towards anybody that's left in the game.
No, absolutely. And we saw that's how they both left. I was like, if that were me, I'd have been pissed. I would have been like, I wouldn't be hugging anybody. I would have taken the Claire exit out that door. I wouldn't be happy at all. But I was also thinking, like, with those votes, like, even if they take the high road, I think that people will be mad at Kylan for what he's done. Just if Tiffany's explaining what has happened, I think that they'll be mad at Kylan. And then I think they'll be mad at Kylan for taking out Hannah. Like, I think that could lose Derek X's vote. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like his actions are just losing him votes that he could potentially have. And it doesn't seem like Sarah Beth is that favorable towards him right now. And I can see that even diminishing even more. So
yeah,
high road or not, I don't know if he's in a good spot.
I think Kylan wins by a narrow margin or gets completely blown out. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I don't think he's going to be like the overwhelming favorite, or Xavier is going to just scrape out a win. I feel like the sentiment will either be overwhelmingly pro Xavier, or if Kylan wins, he still has pissed off a few people that he's not getting their votes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not like an 8-1 or a 9-0 vote for Xavier to win, it has to be because Tiffany goes in. She manages to flip Hannah, who is not pro Kylan right now, manages to pull Derek X and Claire. That's 4. They still need one more. Brittany doesn't seem inclined to go Kylan. Alyssa wouldn't seem inclined to go Kylan. Sarah Beth doesn't seem inclined to go Kylan. Certainly Azza and Big D would not go Kylan. So they would need to pull probably Alyssa, Sarah Beth, or Brittany, maybe. You know, maybe they can convince Sarah Beth, like, put your feelings aside. Maybe they can convince Alyssa that, like, hey, we know you had a closer relationship with Xavier. And I think Alyssa actually might be their best bet of, like, but Kylan played the stronger game, because I think Alyssa would be very receptive to that argument. But man, does it look real hard for Kylan to win against Xavier, especially if he's the one that takes Xavier.
Okay. Taryn, do we have live feed updates to talk about?
Not particularly. There's actually no, there hasn't been a veto competition yet. Mm-hmm. So there's no real update here. We've even seen that Xavier wants Big D to cut Kyland. That's what we've seen on the feeds. I can tell you that while we've been talking, Big D has been spiraling about how he feels like he's screwed up and his, all of his hard work is going to come to naught because he's told all of her that he was going to cut her. And now Kylan knows that he's thinking about cutting him, and now they're both going to cut Big D if they win. And it's all going to be for naught. I can't believe this is not, it's not fair. So.
Mm-hmm.
Just the thought that Big D could do basically anything, and I don't feel like anyone's cutting him this week.
No, he's got a seat over there. He's there. Yeah.
There is almost nothing he could do.
Mm-hmm. I have a sound clip I didn't play yet tonight. This is when...
Damn, you were zooming.
Won the challenge. He was zooming, according to Aza.
Zooming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Jacob Jones was going to teach a zooming class, right? Yeah. Okay. I mean, wait, is there anything else to break down tonight?
There really isn't. I mean, this episode didn't need to be an episode. Yeah. They didn't have much here.
It'll never happen. We've asked a million times, but it's like, you have how long left now with how few competitors, looking forward for it to just be the final four. We're going to have just the veto next time, I presume, which usually they'll go straight into an eviction after that. I know they never will. We could film the jury questioning in advance. That would be nice, but mm-hmm. No, of course not. We're not going to use the time well.
Yeah, I guess let's just talk through the schedule, because I believe, Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we have a Friday night episode next week as well. So if I understand the schedule correctly, we will have one more regular Wednesday episode coming up. That's mm-hmm. going to be live after the Survivor on Wednesday. Then Big Brother will have its an eviction night Thursday, where we will get down from 5 to 4. I think we will have I'm presuming the recap of the recap 1 week from tonight coming up. Be on the lookout for that. Then another Sunday episode when I guess we'll get down from 4 to 3, and then a 2-hour finale of BB23.
Sunday, I think they've already gone from 4 to 3. Sunday will probably be like the start of the true start of the HOH competition or something like that.
Sunday could be the recap of the recap.
Friday,
or it's a concert maybe.
Wednesday is the veto comp. Thursday is the eviction. Friday is recap. Sunday is probably start like post eviction, post recap, start of the final three HOH. And then the finale is the finish.
But when are they doing a final four eviction?
Thursday, I would imagine.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to lose. You think somebody's going home on Wednesday?
No, we're already at 4.
Okay, I got it. Okay.
The last
2 hours yesterday.
Yeah, sorry.
The last two seasons have had like a luxury competition throwing in at the end, so expect one of those. Yeah, we're getting filler.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up besides all this Big Brother still to come. All right. Tomorrow morning, Taryn is going to have Maggie Morgan on a Saturday.
Yes.
Okay. Be on the lookout. It'll be interesting to hear what Maggie has to say about this group as you recap what's going on day 74.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll do a quick update for you.
Yeah, if you missed us earlier today, Taryn and I did the BB Q&A call-in show that is up on Patreon right now. You can watch and listen to our exit interviews that we got back for Tiffany and for Hannah, plus the patrons called in, had a nice chat earlier today. That show is already up. If you want to go ahead and check that out, we'll have one more next Friday coming up for the BB Q&A. Then, as well, we'll have the slop on Monday evening. Mike Bloom will join me on the slop. I know Mike loves to get sloppy, loves to go full bloom. We will have that coming up on Monday night, 5 p.m. Eastern, a little bit earlier for the slop on Monday. And then on Sunday night, we have a big supersized season 41 preseason draft. We're going to start to switch gears into Survivor coverage now, coming up on Wednesday. Big Brother is winding down. Going to go full steam ahead into Survivor 41. We'll have some draft coverage coming up on Sunday night. Then, as well, we will also have, this should be, if I think this should be live now, Issa Look. Bryce, Isaiah, and I, we had a great time going through the profile photos of the 18 new Survivor players. Bryce took one look at them. Do they have winter energy? Do they have early boot energy? Bryce will tell you everything you need to know about the Survivor 41 cast on Issa Look. And then that's not the only Survivor 41 preview that's up, because David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis, why blank lost for Survivor 41. People are already petitioning David Bloomberg to get a YX lost if Xavier doesn't win this thing.
And watch it.
Be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. Okay. And then, of course, we closed out the Survivor Top 40 season rankings with the all-time longest podcast in the history of RHAP. Over 6.5 hours on Heroes versus Villains with Chappelle and with Shannon Gus. You can listen to all of our Top 40 ranking shows at robinsonwebsite.com/rankings. And then we had a great podcast the other day. The Queen, Sandra Diaz-Twine, joined T-Bird and me to talk about all of her seasons. That's a really fun interview with Sandra. Definitely, I highly suggest checking that one out, as I do with all the Talking with T-Bird's interviews. And then also find out why Sandra won again in Heroes versus Villains, when David Bloomberg and Jessica take you through everything Sandra did right to win Heroes versus Villains. Okay. Tomorrow, I still got to watch 4 episodes of The Circle. We got a Circle roundtable coming up this Saturday, I believe 5 p.m. Myself, Taryn, Kirsten McInnes, Jenny Autumn, Geneva Guadalupe will be on the Circle Roundtable to talk about week 2 of the Circle. Taryn, you get through it yet?
No, I got 3 episodes to watch.
Okay. All right. So I got a lot of, I'll be putting the coffee on and watching a lot of Circle tomorrow morning. Yeah. Those are my plans. And then we've got our brand new Real Housewives of Salt Lake City wrap up with Maggie Morgan and Jacob Jones. We're so excited to have Maggie and Jacob together. Taryn, it could be a wild ride.
It should be a wild ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. That Chantel Scali, either of you watch the Housewives of Salt Lake City?
Yes. I do. And I can't wait to watch or listen to that podcast, because it's pretty messy and there's a lot of wild things that are going on. So I want to see what they have to say about it for sure.
For sure. And then, of course, Married at First Sight with Asia and Amy is back again this week in our wrap-ups feed, as is The Challenge with Ali Lasher and Brian Cohen. We'll talk about episode number 6. And, of course, everything going on in our Patreon podcast feed. That's the real monster, the Patreon podcast feed, because we're just throwing shows in there left and right. You'll have everything you need to know about all of the shows you love when you become a patron of Rob as a Podcast. We dropped a Patreon 5 for 5 today, the BB Q&A. Chantel and I did a Survivor Q&A with the patrons on Wednesday, plus we did a feedback show on Heroes versus Villains, and much, much more coming your way, including the slop on Monday. It's the perfect time to jump in here. Of course, if you feel like it's late in the month to jump in now, check out the annual membership where you pay for 11 months and you get 12. That's all at robisthewebsite.com/patron, plus access to everything that's going on in the Rob is a Podcast community. Hope to see you there. Check out offers from our sponsors at robiswebsite.com/offers. And then, as well, hit the subscribe button to follow us on YouTube, or look us up wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, follow us on social media at Rob is a Podcast on Twitter, at RHAP Grams on Instagram, and at Rob is a podcast on TikTok. Been spending so much time on TikTok this week.
How's that going?
Oh, I'm loving it so much. I'm so mad. Nobody told me that the answer to all of life's questions were on TikTok.
It's actually good.
I'm so upset. I'm so upset. I feel like I've been wasting the last 4 years not being on TikTok. I'd be so smart right now. Yeah. No, TikTok is great. I can't say enough about the TikTok. I can't put my phone down, and I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Waste a lot of time on TikTok for sure.
Yes. We got some RHAP TikToks that we've been working on coming your way as well. So be on the lookout for that. And I'm at Rob Cesternino on TikTok in addition. All right, Scally, what's coming up for you?
All right. So I was able to talk with Puya about 90 Day Fiancé this past week. So if people have not already checked that out, go ahead and do that. It was a ton of fun to jump into the franchise for the first time. I also was able to talk with Phil T about the challenge this week.
Yes. I have to finish. Maybe tonight I'll see if Nicole wants to watch that 90 Day Fiancé episode that we haven't seen yet, so I could hear the 90 Day Fiancé wrap up this week.
It's fun. I definitely am enjoying jumping in. We had finally got me on board, so thanking him for that. But yeah, also talked about the challenge with Phil T. Matt Liguori was out for the week, so had him come fill in. It was a lot of fun talking about this week's episode. And then popping up on Big Brother, wherever that may happen. So if you don't already, I'm also, anything I'm doing is on Twitter at Brian_Scally.
The king of Twitter, Brian Scally.
Thank you.
Okay. Scally, great to have you back. Chantel, I know you are always so busy watching shows. You watch everything. You cover it all.
I watch a lot.
Chantel, where can people keep up with you?
Definitely, if you want to follow me on or subscribe to my YouTube channel, Reality Realness with 3 S's. Still doing a lot of talking about the challenge. Definitely, I'm enjoying the season for sure. That's pretty fun. And Bachelor in Paradise is still going on. And then on Saturdays, I usually talk to Sarah from Nerdtainment over on her channel. So I'm always around, and I'm sure I'll pick up another show to start watching and to get overworked again.
Do you have a favorite show you're watching right now?
I mean, I think nostalgia-wise, it's always going to be the challenge. Like, even if I don't like the challenge, like, or the people that are on it, like, I've just been watching every single episode since I was a kid. Like, I love it. So, yeah, I'd say the challenge right now.
Okay. All right. We have two great challenge experts here with us tonight. Mm-hmm. And Taryn, what about for you?
Well, of course, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'd be hanging out there, watching some episodes with you guys. I will be watching Survivor live as well over on Twitch. So if you want to hang out and watch Survivor with me, you can do that on Wednesday. That's again, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, or you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn.
Okay. All right. Great job, everybody. I know it was a lighter show tonight, but look, we got to everything that was there. We went over this thing like some CSI Vegas investigators with a fine-tooth comb and brought you everything that there was. So thank you so much for joining us. We will be back with more Big Brother next week. Plenty of Survivor coverage coming in the next couple of days. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.